Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate this evening on verses from Matthew chapter 27, the parable of the 10 virgins. It's Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. It's like a family treasure. The words I remember my grandfather saying, my father too. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." That's what we are. Doormen. We watch the doors. We guard the gates. You have a lot of time to think when you're standing guard. I was one of the soldiers responsible for the temple. For 1,000 years since the time of Solomon, there were families like ours from the Levites. That's what we did. We guarded the doors. And so I was there on that Tuesday when that rabbi from Nazareth came into the temple. I've never seen anything like that, but that was the way this man was. Just a couple days before that, he came into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And the whole city went ballistic. People were coming with him in. People went out to him and they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." I thought it was a bit overdone myself. I could kind of think the way the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees did our religious leaders. They just shook. That just made them so angry. And I thought, who is this man? I mean, I'd heard the stories. But who is he that he should come riding into the city like a humble king? What, are we all supposed to bow down and worship him? But I stood at my post in the temple, and I listened, and I could not believe what my ears were hearing. All of our religious leaders, all of a sudden were all united. They were all like they were on the same side, and they had never had any use for each other at all. The Sadducees hated the Pharisees. The Pharisees even hated some of the priests. They were always at each other's throats until that day, and they all ganged up on Jesus of Nazareth. Now, just from a sense of fairness at that point, I had to stop and think, what is this all about? And they kept coming at him, one after another, all day long, right into the noon hour, into the afternoon, one question after another, trying to make him look bad in front of all the people. And he was so calm. They could not get to him. They could not ruffle his feathers. It was everything I could do to keep a straight face and stand there like the stone walls. And he just kept on saying one thing after another to those religious leaders. I had never heard anyone talk to them and get away with it like that. And it was toward the end of the day, and he was ready to leave and take his disciples with him out of the temple and across the Kidron Valley. And he stopped just long enough to say to all of those religious leaders that they were condemned. All the church people, the religious leaders. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, one after another. And they couldn't lift a hand to stop him. I saw them angry and gnashing their teeth, but they could not stop him. And yet, he was not angry. He was sad. He stopped. And he looked around, and there was this grief in his eyes. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. My shift was over. I had to go out that way anyway. I tagged along with his disciples because at that point, I needed to hear more. No one ever talked to the priest that way. No one spoke with the authority like him. No one talked like God, our Lord. And the grief of so many Jews killing so many prophets over so many years and God just not being able to get through. His disciples were all excited. It's like most of this just went by them. And they were admiring the great temple. You know, we got across the Kidron Valley and they turned around and looked and Jesus sat down there and the whole temple was spread out. And they were going on and on about how beautiful the temple was. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And then he started telling this long story about what it would be like in the end. A whole lot more than just the destruction of the temple. And he said, no one knows that day or that hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Some day and hour when it would all come to an end. He talked about a wise servant put in charge by his master to take care of the rest of the family. But then because my master is staying away, he began to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. He said, the master of the servant will come at a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour when he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, he had my attention then. I always thought just everybody that was a Jew would go right to heaven. And he was talking like if you weren't ready, you were in trouble. I knew what weeping was, but I never thought about the gnashing of teeth. That's anger. I was about ready to leave, but he started to tell a story that wasn't quite so deep and heavy. He started to talk about a wedding. So I stuck around. I thought maybe that would be a little more cheerful. My master had just gotten married not too long before that, and so I could totally relate to this wedding story. You know, everybody all excited, and in our Jewish weddings, the bride waits at her house, and the bridesmaids are all there, and everybody just waits until the bridegroom comes, and he gets his bride, and then they go into the wedding feast, and it's an exciting time. Usually everybody just is waiting and the bridegroom comes on time. I know my master was on time for sure. There was no delay and no problem. They all just went in and everybody had the great party and I stood by the door and watched my post and everything was fine. But that's not quite the way Jesus told his story. I was so amazed at how he could just take everyday events like this and just make a lesson out of it. Jesus said that at this particular wedding, there were 10 virgins, the bridesmaids. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. My grandpa always told me that when you were a doorman, you could learn to just size people up just in a matter of minutes, and it's really true. There are some people that you look at and they've got it all together. You can just tell by watching how they move and what they say that they're right there. And then there's other ones. They're here, there, and they're everywhere. They don't know why they're living. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have any purpose in life. They just come and go. And it's more like a moth going at a light all the time, more than a butterfly that might at least land and look like it was going someplace. And that's the way the bridesmaids were in Jesus' story. I could just see it standing there at that wedding like the doorman and watching these 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 wise ones come and they're all set. They're ready. They're all together. They're waiting for the bridegroom and they're happy. Well, so are the foolish ones, but they're ditzy. I don't know what else to say. They're so happy and they're so excited about the wedding, but they're totally unprepared for anything that might happen, like in Jesus' story, when the bridegroom is late. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, they're waiting. Now, I have to understand that for us, we have these little lamps. They're oil lamps. It's kind of like a bowl with a little spout on the side of it, kind of bent. It's just clay that they make that way. And the bowl holds the oil, and then there's a wick that goes out over that spout, and so the oil just keeps coming up there. You have to be careful not to spill them, but that's how our oil lamps work. And so the wise virgins in Jesus' story, they had plenty of oil along. Their lamps could keep on burning. Didn't matter if the bridegroom was late. But boy, those other 5... they're just having such a great time and enjoying life and their lamps are flickering a little bit and it's like they don't even notice. And the sun goes down. And I could imagine the doorman at that wedding just trying to stay awake, just wondering when is the bridegroom going to finally come. And there's the bridesmaids all just finally sitting down and you can just kind of hear the breeze in the trees and the waves just lapping at the shore of the lake and everybody's just getting more and more drowsy and the time is coming and the eyes are starting to droop a little bit. And it's so quiet. Their lamps are just kind of flickering a little bit. And I'm standing at my post and waiting. Behold the bridegroom, he's here. Oh, they all wake up. And the wise ones, well, they're all set. They see they need a little more oil. They pour it from their jars. And the other ones, their lamps have practically gone out. Now they're all excited. They're ditzy. Give us some of yours. Give us some of yours. I'm just watching all this. No way. We won't have enough for ourselves if we give you some of our oil. Go and buy some. And this was what was so strange. Those ones, if they would have just looked at their lamps before and paid a little attention, there was plenty of time to go and buy some more oil before the sun went down. while they head off and they try. This is the part that got to me, maybe because of my job. When my master said, close the door, that meant the door was closed. And I can just imagine being the doorman when those five foolish virgins came back. And having closed the door, and then hearing them running up to the door and pounding on it, let us in, let us in, but the door is closed. And I can imagine as a doorman wanting to open the door in spite of my master's orders, and then having to look over at him and him shaking his head, no. The door is shut. Now it's too late. That's what got to me. Because pretty much all my life, I just went up to the temple when I was supposed to. I listened, but it really never got to my heart. I was a good Jew, like a lot of the other ones, kids my age. But boy, when Jesus told that story, that's when I realized he's talking about the last day. He's talking about himself when he comes back. This is the stories we've heard over all those years about God our Father and his Son, the heavenly bridegroom, and the wedding banquet, and the door will be shut. I don't want to be on the outside pounding to get in. When Jesus had already said, on the outside, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to watch my lamp. I'm going to pay attention. Because for all of our history as Jews, when they talked about that oil, that was the Holy Spirit. David was anointed with oil, and then he went out with the Spirit of the Lord on him, conquered Goliath. I remember that. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to pay attention because I'm a doorman in the house of the Lord. I have time to think. And I heard his word. I saw him die. I heard him after he rose.